Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Last week we began this new series on overcoming the dark side of leadership with Gary McIntosh, who's co-written a book by the same title. Those of us in leadership would do very well, I think, to heed the advice of somebody like Gary, because the last thing the church needs is a dysfunctional leader seeking to meet his or her own needs in their role. And certainly the last thing the world needs is another fallen leader mired in public disgrace. Gary's with us again. Gary, welcome again.
Sheridan, good to be back with you.
Let's just run through those five dysfunctional leader profiles again, just to refresh our memory. You talk about the compulsive leader, the narcissistic leader, the paranoid leader, the codependent leader, and the passive-aggressive leader. And we're going to be exploring each one as the weeks go on, how we can identify ourselves, which one we are, and then how we can, you know, work to overcome the dark side of our leadership style, as you were talking about last week. Let's start with the compulsive leader, though. Tell me about the compulsive leader. How would you define them?
The simple definition of a compulsive leader is a person who has to maintain high control or a high sense of order or efficiency. I think we've all worked with a person like this. You know, they oftentimes produce high-quality work, but they seem to be overly concerned about being in control. For instance, I remember working with a person myself one time who every time I wrote a letter on behalf of the business, this person had to see it, they had to approve it. For a time, they wouldn't even let me sign a letter. They had to sign all the letters. There was some sort of an inner fear that something would go out from the office that wouldn't be absolutely perfect. Basically, that's a sign of a compulsive leader. Absolutely in control, absolutely efficient, absolutely wanting everything to be perfectly in order.
Yeah. As you mentioned last week, these kinds of dysfunctional aspects of our personality, which then flow into our leadership, arise from unmet needs. What's driving the person who's compulsive like that, wanting to maintain control?
Well, I think that in large part, they're looking for reassurance. They're looking for approval. Maybe in the past, they found it difficult to get approval, and so they're seeing this as a way to prove themselves to someone they love or someone they respect, and they feel like the best way to do it is to produce this absolutely perfect work. I think some people have been conditioned to do this. For instance, where I teach, I have a number of Asian students, and many of them have been raised in a family where the only acceptable grade was A. You know, students have told me sometimes they came home with an A minus, and their father was upset because they had an A minus. And so they've grown up in a environment that says you have to have absolutely perfect grades. So as they get older, that carries over to all areas of their work where they feel like that they're not really approved or accepted or loved unless they have everything in line and in order.
How does this translate to the Christian leader, Gary? How have you seen the compulsive leader dysfunction, meld with the pastor?
Well, I think you see it with a pastor who will not share leadership. You know, we have a lot of pastors who talk about lay ministry and letting people in the church use their spiritual gifts and participate. And yet, when people try to get involved, the pastor basically shuts them down and won't let them do it. For instance, I've been in churches where I remember one time a pastor who did absolutely everything from the platform. He led the music. He gave announcements. He, of course, preached the sermon. He took the offering. And there were other people in the church who had the ability and the skills to participate and to help out. But the bottom line was the pastor wouldn't let them. Now, that's one way. I think it shows up a lot of times when a pastor controls other ministries outside the church, when they have all decision-making flow through them, that they have to give final approval. I think sometimes it shows up when pastors express anger. They'll get upset. And sometimes it's because that they feel like they're losing control in the church.
Yes. This is Open House. We're exploring the series Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership with Gary McIntosh. The openhouse.net.au has the podcast. Interesting, you were talking there just about the church leader who is kind of worried. Worry comes into a lot of these dysfunctions, I see. But also they're worried about what people think of them too. There is certainly a kind of a looking over the shoulder and saying, what are people going to think? And maybe even what are people going to think if I fail?
I think so. I think that particularly with a compulsive leader, they're very status conscious. They feel like that people are watching them and that anything that's not done well reflects upon them as a person. And so therefore they try and control everything so that everything is done well so that they look good.
Mm. Another characteristic of the compulsive leader that you note here is maintaining a heavy workload and kind of, I guess, maybe sometimes complaining about that, but actually being secretly proud of it. There's a certain workaholism that comes as part and parcel of this dysfunction, isn't there?
There is, and you see this particularly in a lot of fields of business where a person will work their normal hours during the day, and then they take work home at night, and they spend another 2 or 3 hours working at night, or maybe they come in very early in the morning, and they work way beyond what is necessary. And again, I think it does lead somewhat to status. They're hoping that their boss will see them working those extra hours and approve of that, which would raise their status in the boss's eyes. Or sometimes it's, for instance, like someone who does a lot of writing, they may just edit a report again and then re-edit it again. They're always trying to make it just a little bit better, just a little more perfect, because they feel like, it reflects on them if it's not well done.
Mm. What, and so if you were to bring it down, though, these people are working so hard because they're compensating for what? Is it one or two things, or could it be different for each person who's a compulsive leader?
They're compensating for a lack of approval or assurance that they're doing a job well. And so they're trying to get that by working those extra hours.
Mm. Gary, is it possible to have those high standards, to strive for excellence, to do a good job without becoming compulsive about it? Can we actually maintain that balance?
I think we can. I think that we see people around us who are concerned about, for instance, putting out a good report, for instance, and yet they reach a point where they say, it's time to go home, I've done the best job I can, and they go home and they don't worry about it. They're not compulsively driven to keep working and keep, trying to improve a particular product. I think the same is true with a person who does not have to be in control. They're willing to let other people participate. They're willing to let other people lead. So I think we can have high standards and produce good quality and be secure in ourselves to where we feel like that I don't have to control everything and I can trust these other people even if they don't do it as well as I do.
Gary McIntosh is with us. We're talking about overcoming the dark side of leadership and looking at this first leader profile, the compulsive leader. What I find really interesting about the book, Gary, is the fact that you talk about these five different dysfunctional leadership profiles, and yet the answer, as far as overcoming them, is actually the same for each one. I thought there might be some different things, but actually you've got kind of, 5 points as to how anybody who's actually wrestling with any of these different profiles can actually overcome this dark side, as you call it. Now, we're going to spend a whole session on this in a few weeks' time because it needs to be explored further, but run us through those 5 points because it's the beginning to overcoming the compulsive leadership tendency, isn't it?
It is, and as I mentioned in our last interview, I think one of the biggest dangers is that people are in denial. So I think the first step in dealing with any of these particular issues is to acknowledge the fact that we have a dark side, to recognize that it's there, mm-hmm. and not be fearful of it. I think the second step is to examine our past and to really think about our childhood, our growing up, our young adult years, to look back in our lives and really ask ourselves, what possibly could be driving me, for instance, as we're talking today, what's driving me to be so compulsive? Why do I have to be in control? Or why do I have to work these extra hours when other people don't seem to have that same need? What is causing that?
Mm.
A third step is I think we have to, what I call, resist the poison of expectations. we have to recognize that other people sometimes put their expectations upon us, and maybe it's not our expectation. It might be a mother. It might be a coach that we used to have in the past. It might be a teacher. We're sometimes trying to live up to their expectations, and it's really not our expectations. And so what's driving us sometimes is what other people expect from us. And we have to really be careful not to be driven by what other people always want,
yes,
but to recognize really, you know, what is our giftedness? Where are we talented? What can we do? What can't we do? And to really honestly address that. A fourth issue is continue to grow. I think the watchword today is continuing education, and we need to apply that to ourselves, and we need to grow in our own self-knowledge. We have to grow in understanding who we are and what makes us tick, so to speak, and what brings us joy, and, you know, what brings us sadness, and what causes us to be exhausted. And the more we know who we are, and the more we work or minister out of our giftedness and out of our strengths, the better off we'll be. And then I think step five is to understand our identity in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I think what most people find is that it comes down to the issue of spirituality. We have to find our true acceptance in the person of God himself through Jesus Christ, and that ultimately is what frees us from our dark side.
Yeah, good advice. We'll explore more of that in the weeks to come. Gary, thanks again for your time. Look forward to exploring the narcissistic leader with you next week.
Sheridan, I look forward to being with you.
Yeah, that's Gary McIntosh. He's the president of the Church Growth Network in the United States, and he's the co-author of Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership. It's through Baker Books. Next week, we'll explore profile number two, the narcissistic leader.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.